This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City with me, Bill Weinberg, and Anne-Marie Hendrickson.
Good evening.
And we were opening up with some of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's greatest hits, some classics from all the music that we've been playing from all over the world. Lo, these many years, we started off with the techno-pop version of the classic Ottoman Empire military marching song, Sedin Dedin, which is Turkish for your fathers or our forefathers. That was by the Ottoman military project. Once again, sort of a techno-pop interpretation of a an Ottoman Empire military marching song. And we immediately followed that with the music from which we take the music for our cart, which is Mantra by Bill Laswell's Material. And then, let's see, we played Cut 14 from, let's see, who was that from? Oh, yeah, that was from Tinari Wen, a little bit of Tuareg garage rock, as I like to call it. It's got that real sort of gritty sound because their amplifiers are always shorting out there in the desert. These are former Tuareg guerrilla fighters from Mali who, with the peace accords of a few years back, put down their machine guns and picked up electric guitars. Really, really amazing stuff. Real authentic desert blues. And why are we playing all this great music tonight? Well, we're playing all this great music tonight because this is just a sample from the premiums which we are offering, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And Volume 1 is actually a three-disc set, three-disc jam-packed of all of this great music. And Volume 2 is just one disc, but also one disc of really, really good music. And, you know, I have to confess that when we offered it before, I think, well, last year, I said that it would never be available again. Well, it was such a smashing success that I really felt guilty about depriving the listeners who couldn't find the wherewithal to actually shell out the money for this music last time. I felt guilty about depriving them of the of a second opportunity. So what can I say? This is a big reprieve performance. And you people last time who did shell out and get this music, well, you know, forgive me for the bait and switch, okay? But I'm sure that you feel entirely vindicated because now you've got all this wonderful music. I'm sure you're not complaining. And all of you people out there who didn't, well, you know, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to, A, support WBAI, and B, support the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade by showing us how much you love us, and C, getting a lot of really, really, really good music. And I'm not going to say this music isn't available anywhere else, because you could go and get it the same way that I got it, but this is the only place in the world where it's all available together on one disc, or you know, actually on four different discs. And I picked, you know, this was the product of years and years of work, actually, of listening to lots and lots of really good music and taking the very, very best from all of the amazing music which has come my way over the years that I've been doing this radio show. And some of this music is only available overseas in foreign countries. Some of this is music which I picked up, in market stalls down in South America, for instance, and in Mexico and in Central America, or music which was sent to me by, our contacts overseas in the Berber diaspora in both in Algeria and in France. Music which is actually a lot of it is, in fact, very, very hard to find. And it's all rocking. We've got music from all over the Middle East, from North Africa, from Turkey, from the Indian subcontinent, from all over South America, music from indigenous peoples like the Garifuna in the Mosquito Coast of Nicaragua and Honduras. Really, really rocking music. It's really, really eclectic. It's all really good stuff, and it can be yours for a pledge. Now, The three CD set, which is the Morse Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 1, we're asking $100 for. And the one CD set, which is the Morse Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 2, we're asking $50 for. And, of course, a minimum pledge of $25 will make you a member of WBAI. And if you pledge $30, you get the wonderful T-shirt that Uncle Sidney Smith produced, which Anne-Marie is wearing at this very moment. Hold it up to the microphone.
So everyone can see it.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Purple and gold. And best T-shirt we've had in years.
It really is the best T-shirt BAI has had in many, many years. And not only that, but there's a real synchronicity behind this T-shirt for the Morse Orthodox Radio Crusade.
With the flying Sufi heart on it.
Exactly. That's right. Which Sidney apparently did not even realize. This was a real case of synchronicity in action, at work. Sidney thought that he had invented this symbol, and in fact it is the symbol of the Sufis, which in turn was adopted by the Moorish Orthodox Church, which was founded by Peter Lamborn Wilson and friends low back in the early 1960s, hence is the symbol of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And you can go to our website, and that symbol is right there, morc.info. And now it is emblazoned on a stylishly purple shirt, designed by our dear old Uncle Sidney Smith. And what does it say? It says WBAI, Radio with Heart. And, of course, the symbol on it is a heart with flaming wings, which is the symbol of the Sufis and of the Moorish Orthodox Church and of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And then it says WBAI 99.5 FM. And then it says founded by pacifists. Listener-sponsored radio. And, yes, indeed it is. This is the Pacifica Network was founded by pacifists and people who actually were interned during the Second World War for refusing military conscription, like Lewis Hill.
Not, as some may think, because it was started out on the Pacific Coast.
Exactly. A common misconception. The people think it was, which it was, in fact, started out on in San Francisco Bay Area, that is named after the Pacific Ocean. But no, it actually was named Pacifica as an explicit anti-war statement.
That's right.
And, you know, the anti-war message is, of course, more imperative than ever these days. And I know that Sidney was making a point, I believe, when he chose his particular slogan, that we need to in some sense, the Pacifica Network and particularly BAI back to its roots and making it more about dialogue and exploring ideas and trying to promote peace as opposed to making it about preaching and squabbling.
And the idea that communication itself and talking itself was an alternative to war. I mean, this was the extremely idealistic, you know, foundation of the whole network by people who had seen a lot of violence, not just in World War II, but for the whole really previous 30 years before that, all the sorts of, like, from in Spain, you know, and people, a lot of these people had come through World War I and everything else. And, you know, the whole level of heightened violence in the United States in the 20s and 30s around labor violence and racial violence. And there was an idea that they'd fought, that the United States had been involved in two wars in order to overcome people's inability to get along with each other, and that it had not really worked. And that there had to be, they had to engage in some kind of experimentation in order to find out, there had to be a way to get people to talk to each other and maybe understand each other in a new kind of way. And it also was sort of an attempt to return to some very idealistic feelings about the beginnings of radio. If you know anything about radio history, it's amazing the kinds of claims that were made for radio in the very early days of its invention. I mean, people really literally did think that it was going to bring an end to war because people would be able to hear each other for the first time. And, of course, that turned out not to be the case.
In many ways, it turned out to be the precise opposite.
The precise opposite.
I mean, Hitler's exploitation of radio was very key to his rise to power.
Right. And just, you know, it was basically, although many interesting things came out of commercial radio, the primary purpose of commercial radio is to sell commercials, you know, and to sell things to you, the listeners of the commercials. And so there was an idea that people keep telling us that this is the way it has to be, but we're going to try and set up a radio network that will be different, that is going to be based on different ideas, and we're going to try and see if radio actually could do these amazing things that people at the beginning of radio thought it could do. And 50 years later, I guess, you know, I think we've had an interesting, I think it's been more successful than not, even with all the fighting and all the squabbling and all the amount of complaining that we all do about it, not just on this show. But I think it's been well worth the time that people put into it, and the blood and unhappiness and, you know, that have been shed over it. I think that the founders of the station were correct, and I'm very proud to be a part of this great tradition of people trying to come up with an alternative to the ways that we normally fight with each other, you know, that maybe that if you, that this can be a way of getting people to talk to each other in a new kind of way and listen in a new kind of way.
And I suppose that we should mention or admit that we're kind of in deep fiscal crisis at the moment.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, we always say, you know, that every time we do a fundraising marathon, we always say that we really need your money and the things are really desperate. But in terms of, I mean, this is a true moment of fiscal crisis, is it not? I mean, people who listened to our Paul Martin show this past Sunday actually heard it from the horse's mouth, from the Pacifica and WBAI management, that things are not looking good on the financial front for the immediate future here.
Yeah, things are rough. I mean, I know that we've gone through, we seem to sort of lurch from one crisis to another, and it always, I'm afraid that sometimes it seems like we're the boys and girls who are crying wolf all the time, that we always seem to be coming saying, this is a crisis, we'll never, if we don't survive this crisis, there may be no BAI tomorrow, and it seems that every fund drive we do it. But, yeah, I mean, there really are problems, just because the whole big crisis of 4 years ago or so that I'm sure you all remember quite clearly has never really been quite recovered from. You know, we've never really quite economically recovered from that that particular crisis. I mean, the fights that went on there ended up getting us involved in legal battles that still continue. That's part of it. And there are other kinds of problems that should have been dealt with at the time that were not dealt with. And, you know, if we don't deal with them soon, we're not going to have a radio station to fight about.
And that would really be a historic step backwards, I would argue, certainly for New York City and really for America.
I mean, an example of how bad things are is, in a way, probably even people who don't listen to the station know by reading the New York Times that BAI chose not to broadcast Howl for the first time in forever.
Which is rather an irony.
And kind of was a little, you know, give the New York Times, horror of horrors, the ability to be kind of snarky about it.
Now, you say first time ever. So what was the occasion? This was the anniversary?
It's the anniversary of it. And they've always done it in the past at some point. And now the financial situation is so dire and the fines have become so draconian that the station is afraid that not just the station couldn't handle the fines, but maybe the network itself couldn't handle the fines if the FCC were to, you know, really crack down and pass the maximum amount of fines for the amount of seven dirty words that are contained in that poem. And it's sad. It's sad that we have that we don't have any sort of cushion to fall back on. We don't have any like savings to fall back on in case there is a big emergency. you know, you always are, feel that you ought to have some kind of savings to fall back on with a big emergency. But since we seem to be lurching from emergency to emergency, that big cushion that is supposed to take care of problems like that, that might even be, you know, socially significant problems that we should be facing, we don't have it. We don't have the, you know, the money to do that with. And so we're facing a we are really facing a big financial crunch here.
Yes, and I mean to the point where you know, like the next like several months, it's really going to be kind of hand to mouth. I mean, the budget which was just passed was just like a 6 month budget as opposed to a year budget. I mean, that's kind of unprecedented, isn't it? So, I mean, that's the level of crisis which we're at here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, where it is 12:36 in the morning and the tally still stands at zero, which means that nobody's called, 212-209-2950, and made a pledge to show how much you love the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade and to keep this radio station on the air. Once again, for a minimum pledge of $25, you will become a member of WBAI, and you can actually be a part of the extremely sloppy and contentious democratic process which is unfolding here at the Pacifica Network. And democracy is always a messy and contentious business, but and it certainly is here.
You'll be a voting member.
But you become a voting member with a minimum pledge of $25, and you get the premium in the mail and all that. Just $5 more, $30, you'll also get Sydney Smith's wonderful T-shirt, which reminds everybody that WBAI was, in fact, founded by pacifists, and also has got the wonderful flaming winged heart logo on it, which makes it particularly appropriate for the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade, the symbol of our radio show, although Sydney didn't even know that when he designed the shirt. So real synchronicity at work here in stylish purple. So that will be yours for a pledge of $30 unless you want it in extra, extra, extra large. If you want it in merely large, extra large, extra, extra large, or extra, extra, extra large, $30. But if you want it in extra, 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 extra large, four X's, then you have to pay $40. Now, for a pledge of $65, you get the...
You can get it in house size, perhaps?
Exactly. It says you get the WBAI cap, but I would I imagine... For $65, you probably get the T-shirt and the cap,
and the hat,
right?
I
would imagine, right? Because they can't ask $65 just for a cap. So a pledge for $65, you get the T-shirt and the cap. That's black with gold lettering or gold with black lettering, your choice. And in addition, of course, you also become a member, and you also get the folio in the mail, and you get the vote for the station board. But what we're really asking tonight is for people to make a pledge of either $50 and get the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 2, or a pledge of $100 and get our 3-CD set, the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 1. Well, we'll play some more of this wonderful music just to give you a sense of what you're going to be missing if, in fact, you do not make a pledge and show how much you love the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade. 212-209-2950 is the number, 212-209-2950. And, you know, if... Now that BAI really is in this situation of deep financial crisis, you know, it looks like this is probably the worst crisis that we've been in since the coup period ended. And, you know, I mean, this is comes, of course, at an extremely dire historical juncture. You know, this is like the big end game of the Bush administration. We're in this hopeless quagmire in Iraq. It looks like we're going to be really, really lucky if they don't try to, you know, start something with Iran in the 1 year which is remaining to them now. In addition, you know, I mean, things are just, you know, really escalating on the home front here as well with, you know, the situation in Jenna, Louisiana, just sort of being an indicator of how ugly the whole atmosphere has got in this country. And now you've got
An election coming up, and if we're really unlucky, Rudolph Giuliani is going to be a major contender.
Exactly. Could be the next president. And even if he's not, it looks like it's going to be Hillary Clinton, who has got serious problems of her own. And And unfortunately, I mean, you know, she sort of, you know, appropriated, you know, the voice of, you know, so-called liberal Democratic Party, liberal wing of the Democratic Party. And of course, you know, she supported the war, and we don't support, we don't trust her to get us out of the war. And yet, you know, if she gets in, she's going to be, you know, demonized by you know, conservative America as, you know, this
she's gonna end up being,
commie extremist.
Right. She's going to somehow all these, like, crummy, like, corporate liberal, like, you know, it's almost like a Cold War kind of liberalism. You know, old-fashioned Cold War liberalism is going to be referred to as, like, far-left extremism.
Exactly. That's the real tragedy of the whole situation in this country now.
And it'll make it even harder to even have a conversation with anybody about what is what, you know.
And so, you know, I mean, things are extremely – we're at a very, very desperate historical juncture, and it's going to be all that much more desperate if we haven't got WBAI as a voice to fight back. And fighting back in a – and I would argue a very unique way. Now, Joe Hill's – or rather, Lewis Hill's original vision – you know, we've sort of strayed somewhat, and I think appropriately, from Lewis Hill's original vision. Because, I mean, you know, in KPFA back in the 1950s, 1960s, you know, the John Birch Society had a show. You know, Caspar Weinberger had a show on KPFA back in the day. And his idea, you know, Lou Hill's idea was really that, you know, you get the entire spectrum, even including your enemies, talking to each other, and you work everything out through dialogue. And then in the 1960s, it started to move away from that, and it started to move towards, you know, more of an actual advocacy position. And I think that's appropriate, you know, but I think that there was also a lot of legitimacy to Lou Hill's original vision, which unfortunately has been lost in the transition to more of an advocacy type position. So I think that what's really what's needed, not for 24 hour, you know, 24/7 over the airwaves, but at least having a voice at WBAI, for instance, you know, after midnight on Tuesday, on weekday nights, whatever, is something which, okay, we aren't loaning a voice to the John Birch Society. We're not loaning a voice to our enemies. The country has changed a lot since Luke Hill's day. Certainly there's more than enough right-wing talk radio out there. We don't need to loan them a voice. But within the, you know, broadly defined progressive spectrum, there should be real dialogue and real communication.
And critical thinking.
And critical thinking, exactly. Exactly.
Not just sort of putting forward the correct line and so that you know what to think, but sort of examining why we take the position that we do, because God knows we might even want to change it if we got new ideas.
And hashing out our differences in a spirit of open dialogue so as to build real unity, as opposed to, you know, somebody just sitting at the microphone purporting the correct line and expecting all the listeners to follow. So this is what we attempt to do here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And, you know, we like to think that there's people out there who understand what we do and support what we do. And if you're one of those people, now is your big moment to make the move and, you know, put your money where your mouth is, because we understand that, you know, money represents blood, sweat, and tears. And that's why people are very, very reluctant to part with it. And we don't take your donations lightly whatsoever, but this is really something which we feel is really important. And I bicycled down here in the rain tonight, so, and in addition, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything which I haven't done. I'm a member of this radio station. I believe Anne-Marie is also.
Yep.
A dues-paying member of this radio station. So all we're asking you to do is the same thing that we do. So please call 212-209-2950 right now, 212-209-2950. The heroic volunteers who also came down here in the rain tonight are standing by to take your calls at 212-209-2950. And I can see that the tally has now jumped up to $100, which is pretty good. So we need one more person to go to the phone and call 212-209-2950. And if you pledge $100 for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, you will be getting your very own set of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits 3-CD set. And here, why don't we hear just a little bit more of it, just to give people a taste of what they'll be getting. Once again, this is music from all over the world. We've got, we've got music from just on the first disc of the first set. We've got music from Bill Laswell here in New York, which we just heard, and we've got William Burroughs' collaboration with Bill with Bill Laswell, and we've got some other New York artists like Baba Israel, and we've got Bhangra Masti from Queens, and the Asian Dub Foundation, Cheb E. Sabah from Algeria, and Oud Ben Aguida from Morocco, and then we've got Takfarinas from Algeria, and Akli D from Algeria, and actually I think and then Tinari Wen from Mali. So and that's just the first disc, okay? That's just like dealing first with the New York stuff and then with the North African stuff. And then the remaining three discs go into Latin America, Colombia, Central America, Mexico, and then the last disc goes to the Balkans and Italy and Turkey. So this is really good stuff. But here's we're going to play something now which is going to be a familiar voice for you old timers who have been listening to this show for a long time.
And while you listen, why don't you call 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950 and make a pledge. Remember, a minimum pledge of $25 will make you a member of this radio station. $60 will get you Uncle Sidney Smith's lovely flying winged, burning, flaming winged heart WBAI t-shirt for a pledge of $60. And then a pledge of $50 will get you Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 1. And a pledge of $100, which is what we're really asking for, that would really be nice, will get you the 3-CD set of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Not available in stores.
Not available anywhere else. And here, if I can get this damn thing to roll over and
212-209-2950.
No. This it? No. Here, this is it.
Chaos never died. Primordial, uncarved block. Soul, worshipful monster. Inert and spontaneous. More ultraviolet than any mythology. Like the shadows before Babylon. The original, undifferentiated oneness of being still radiates serene as the black penance of assassins, random and perpetually intoxicated. Chaos comes before all principles of order and entropy. It's neither a god nor a maggot. Its idiotic desires encompass and define every possible choreography. All meaningless ethers and phlogistons, its masks are crystallizations of its own facelessness, like clouds. Everything in nature is perfectly real, including consciousness. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. Not only have the chains of the law been broken, they never existed. Demons never guarded the stars. The Empire never got started. Eros never grew a beard. No, listen, what happened was this. They lied to you, sold you ideas of good and evil, gave you distrust of your body and shame for your prophethood of chaos, invented words of disgust for your molecular love, mesmerized you with inattention, bored you with civilization and all its usurious emotions. There is no becoming, no revolution, no struggle, no path. Already you're the monarch of your own skin. Your inviolable freedom waits to be completed only by the love of other monarchs. A politics of dream, urgent as the blueness of sky. To shed all the illusory rites and hesitations of history demands the economy of some legendary stone age. Shamans, not priests. Bards, not lords. Hunters, not police. Gatherers of Paleolithic laziness, gentle as blood. going naked for a sign, or painted as birds, poised on the wave of explicit presence, the clockless now ever. Agents of chaos cast burning glances at anything or anyone capable of bearing witness to their condition, their fever of looks et voluptas. I am awake only in what I love and desire to the point of terror. Everything else is just shrouded furniture, quotidian anesthesia, shit for brains, sub-reptilian ennui of totalitarian regimes, banal censorship, and useless pain. Avatars of chaos act as spies, saboteurs, criminals of amor fou, neither selfless nor selfish, accessible as children, mannered as barbarians, chafed with obsessions, unemployed, sensually deranged, wolf angels, mirrors for contemplation, eyes like flowers, pirates of all signs and meanings. Here we are, crawling the cracks between the walls of church, state, school, and factory, all the paranoid monoliths. Cut off from the tribe by feral nostalgia, we tunnel after lost words, imaginary bombs. The last possible deed is that which defines perception itself, an invisible golden cord that connects us, illegal dancing in the courthouse corridors. If I were to kiss you here, they'd call it an act of terrorism. So let's take our pistols to bed and wake up the city at midnight like drunken bandits celebrating with a fusillade the message of the taste of chaos.
Yes, and of course, that was the elusive and mysterious Hakeem Bey, who was performing his amazing spoken word number Chaos with music by Bill Laswell, one of many of the rare and hard-to-find relics from the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's greatest hits, which can be yours for a donation of either $50 for the one CD set or $100 for the three CD set. But it's not about getting the music, although it is about getting really, really good music, but it's not just about getting the music. More important, it's about putting your shoulder to the wheel to see WBAI through this moment of crisis and to have it here as a voice for fighting back as we continue to go deeper and deeper into an extremely dystopian situation in this city, country, and world. So please call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge. 212-209-2950. By the way, I'm told that there is only one volunteer back in Tally at the moment, so we also need people to come down here and volunteer. If you've got some free time tonight, please come down to WBAI and volunteer to answer the phone. Just give a call. Come on down to 120 Wall Street. Actually, I'm not even sure you do have to call first. Just come on down to 120 Wall Street. But
you're going to have to show a picture ID to get in the building.
Yeah, right. There's that. But maybe you should call 212-209-2950 in any case. What do you mean you should?
You absolutely should call 212-209-2950.
Well, I meant even if you wanted to volunteer, you might want to call and let him know that you're coming down by calling 212-209-2950. But really, you should. Now, the tally stands at 260, which is not too shabby. We'd really, really be happy if we could jack it up to 500 at least before we go home. So while we continue rapping here in the studio, because we do also want to bring you some content tonight as opposed to just preaching at you.
And begging.
Please do call 212-209-2950. I'm going to say one more time that a minimum pledge of $25 will make you a member of WBAI. A pledge of $30 will get you Uncle Sidney's
fabulous T-shirt.
Wonderful T-shirt in fashionable purple with the Sufi symbol on it. Which makes it very appropriate for the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade. And a pledge of $50 will get you the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade Greatest Hits Volume 2, 1 CD. And a pledge of $100 will get you the 3-CD set with wonderful music from all over the world, personally compiled and selected by me, Bill Weinberg.
Your party host.
I happen to have impeccable taste in music, as is well known. So, once again, 212-209-2950, please call now. And Anne-Marie has a few words for you.
Oh, I just have some observations about Columbus Day. That one of the things, the sort of the ironies of the whole recent arguments and fights and struggles around the celebration of Columbus Day in the United States has been why do we have a Columbus Day in the first place? What was the original push to even have this holiday? And because the original Columbus Day celebrations, although they were a celebration of Italian culture, apparently right from the beginning, it was really more like the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which was really a St. Patrick's Day March, or the Gay Pride Parade, which was originally a Gay Pride March, meaning that there was a period in this country where the Italians were very much a target of American xenophobia and know-nothings, and were really subjected to incredible levels of violence. I think that it's been long enough ago that people have forgotten it. But and I'm not an authority on it. I think actually Bill might know more about it than me, about the history of the parade. Apparently the first one, I think, actually was in the 1790s in New York. And I know that it started up more in earnest in the 1860s. I think the first one was in San Francisco, where there's a very large Italian community, or had been around that time, that people emigrated out there to be agricultural workers, basically. And that the first Columbus Day kind of activity started around that time. But the big push to get it made a holiday and to get it celebrated around the country starts in the 1890s, and really starts after the lynching in Louisiana in 1891 of 11 Italians. It was the biggest mass lynching, in fact, in American history. And it's probably not that well remembered because, although I think there were like 50 or 60, do you know this? How many Italians were lynched in the United States? It's more than you would think. Somebody killed a police chief in New Orleans, and apparently, most scholars at this point think it probably was one of his political rivals, and he was Irish. His name was Hennessy. And immediately the cry went out that these Italian gang members had done him in. And so 19 day laborers were rounded up and put on trial and ended up being acquitted because they had, in fact, been simply the usual suspects who had been rounded up. And there were so many people who had been fired up by the kind of xenophobic hate rhetoric that was in the papers around that time that they actually kidnapped them out of the jail and hung and lynched them. They lynched 11 of them. They hung some of them from trees and they shot two of them. And it was a really, really big scandal at the time. And this happened in March of 1891. And this made actually headlines all over the world. And it was about 6 months after that President Harrison, Benjamin Harrison, made an apology to the Italian Americans and to the Italian government, who had, I think, had withdrawn all their ambassadors from the United States after this. And as a footnote, I mean, the Italian government that was so upset about this was not so upset about the situation in southern Italy of lawlessness that they encouraged, that they did anything to stem that. I mean, the reason that so many people were emigrating from Italy around this time is because Italian unification was just a disaster for most everybody south of Rome. And everybody, you know, the taxation went out of control, the economy collapsed, and...
For very much the same sort of reasons that NAFTA has been a disaster in Mexico.
I mean, right,
Big economic interest from the north kind of moved in and were able to price all the local industry off the market and...
And made deals with the local warlords
exactly.
In order to keep everybody even more under the thumb than they had been under the previous, like, regime of the church and everything.
Peasants getting pushed from the lands, etc.
So people just couldn't wait to get out of there, and that's why you see this huge flood of people out of southern Italy around this time. So it was very much a demagogic move on the part of the Italian government and probably on the part of the, you know, the president of the United States. But still, the move was made that there had been pushes by a lot of Italian benevolent associations to have a Columbus Day parade, a Columbus Day celebration, and President Harrison actually suggested at that time that it should be made a holiday, although he didn't make it a holiday. And this might be the point also to point out that it was in the wake of this that the whole point of making, of it demanding Columbus Day rather than something else was it was a rhetorical point that immigrants who were subject to xenophobic violence were saying. They were faced with Americans saying, you don't belong here, you just got here, that we've been here for a long time and we're the real Americans and now you're coming in with your foreign ways and who do you think you are? And so they made the rhetorical reply, an Italian, this place is named after an Italian and was discovered by an Italian, so who are you to tell me we can't be here? Of course we can be here. And it was an unanswerable rhetorical point, which is exactly why it ended up taking off.
Except that if you saw the New York Times earlier this week, now it's being more and more thrown at the question whether Columbus was in fact Italian.
Well, yes. I mean, it's right. Not even just throwing out for the moment all the many questions about Columbus. The point was, if they had picked anything other than that, it would have been a very answerable question. They couldn't have called it Da Vinci Day because that wouldn't have had the same. You know, you could pick anyone that you want, or Dante Day or something. It wouldn't have made a difference. The point was they were trying to make a connection for a long history of Italian involvement in the United States.
Yes, yes.
And that's the point they were trying to make.
Yeah.
And so after this long and this lynching, this violence against Italians went on for quite a long time. In a way, you could say the culmination of it, in many ways, really was the execution of Sacco and Vanzetti,
yes.
Who we think of mostly as being executed because they were anarchists. But foreign and anarchists were seen as equivalent at that time.
Absolutely.
And that Italians were seen as being, in fact, quite anarchic because they were so primitive.
Exactly.
You know, they couldn't handle authority at all, and you know, they just weren't ready to live in the modern world, and they just dealt with any kind of setback by just shooting someone or blowing them up or whatever. I mean, there's this whole kind of, and this was all couched in the kind of scientific racism that was common at the time. You know that. You know, they were not as far advanced as the Northern Europeans. They were genetically more inferior, and that had to be. It was sort of a problem, you know, having so many of these genetically inferior Southern Europeans. And it was President Roosevelt, that actually made it a holiday in 1937. In a way, I think, again, to sort of apologize for, you know, it was meant to be sort of a sop to
Sacco and Vanzetti.
Sacco and Vanzetti, and also
posthumously,
and also to sort of the. The growing more sort of mainstream Italian-American politicians like, you know...
LaGuardia,
yeah, you know, and who was a Republican. You know,
yes.
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
But he was a Republican who was very much down with the Roosevelt New Deal program.
He was a Republican, I think, mostly because the Irish were Democrats.
Exactly.
I mean, he wanted
That's
to
right.
set up his own organization.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of that.
But even under FDR, I mean, this is a little-known fact, the Italians were interned in the Second World War. Not generally the way Japanese were, but Italians who were thought to be fascist sympathizers or had, you know, were in touch with, you know, family back home in Italy who were fascist sympathizers were rounded up. They were put in camps.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, it's like a long, crummy history, and it actually became a holiday, like a legal holiday, under Nixon, which is part of, you know, just just part of the general, like, unfortunate history of the holiday.
So what did FDR do in 39?
He made it a holiday, but it was made a federal holiday, like everybody has, like they closed the post offices.
Mm-hmm. And then Nixon made it what?
No, Nixon is the one that made it a federal holiday, like federal offices were closed.
So what did FDR do then?
He made it a holiday. Mm-hmm. It was up to the states to determine exactly what they would do. But mm-hmm. Nixon said, it's a holiday.
Gotcha.
Everybody
mm-hmm.
has it off.
Right.
I think, and in Nixon's case, I think as a cynical, it was seen, especially at that time, I remember quite clearly, it was seen as sort of a cynical, and it was almost sort of meant as a kind of like a reproving finger in the face of the Black Civil Rights Movement. You know, oh, yes, there is other people here, too.
Exactly,
you know?
Yes, which is where we start to get into all the problematic aspect of Columbus
right,
Day.
Right, because, you know, at this point, I think most people would say, well, if we just had sort of an Italian Pride Day, nobody would have a problem with that. But I don't want to celebrate Columbus. You know, Columbus was a prick. You know, he was a slave trader and he did terrible things. But it would never have gotten on, you know, it would never have gotten to the point of being made a holiday if they had picked anyone else.
Exactly.
So you can, it's sort of like the very sort of like troubled history of something like the St. Patrick's Day Parade. The St. Patrick's Day Parade came out of a period where the Irish really, you know, were fighting for, you know, their rights, you know, and now that time is gone. You know, nobody is really like debating whether the Irish or the Italians are white anymore. You know, that hasn't been true for a really long time. And yet we have the parades. And as a result, we have a really wide variety of political opinions in both those parades about where it should go and what it's about and everything else. And
well, at least there is an alternative St. Pat's parade in Queens, you know, which is gay friendly and everything.
I think because it's so much bigger. In general, I think the Columbus Day parades in most of the country are smaller. But I know that one of the biggest anti-Columbus Day parade in the country, I believe, is in Denver.
Yes.
Because that's where
American Indian movement.
Strong, yeah. But the reason that it was even started in Denver was because there were all these Italians that were beat up and killed there who were minors. It's part of the big labor struggles of the early part of the 20th century.
Which is such forgotten history
today. I mean, even the Italians who are marching that parade day don't even know. I'm sure that that's why that parade was set up.
And I would venture that, unfortunately, a lot of the people who are out there protesting against them didn't know either.
I'm sure that they don't because I didn't spend a lot of time looking this up. I just sort of was thinking about it before I came here tonight. But I did look up the Transform Columbus Day site, which is at a run out of Denver, and I think it was actually started by AIM people, but it has a big, you know, group of supporters there, and they don't give any of that as the history of Columbus Day. I mean, they have, you know, it's that they make a point of saying that they're not anti-Italian and they have no problem with an Italian pride parade, but, you know, what their problem is with having Columbus Day, which nobody would disagree with. At least we wouldn't, and most people listening to this would not disagree with. But I think if you don't understand why the parade was started in the first place, you might not understand why people are trying to hang on to it. And, yeah, you know, almost the worst thing is if it just becomes an Italian pride parade, I'm not sure I should say this is the worst thing, but one sort of a small, unfortunate side effect is going to be, I'm sure it's not going to be a legal holiday anymore. And there already is like a big push against trying to eliminate these paid holidays. Like, we used to have two, like Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, and now there's just a President's Day.
Right.
And Columbus Day is one of these things. I know in the last three union negotiations for the library, and I know it's happened in other places as well, the management has put forward the idea that since you know, we shouldn't be celebrating Columbus Day anyway. We shouldn't have it as a holiday, and that they want to eliminate it off the schedule of holidays because it's a bad holiday and nobody should have it. So rather than just sort of saying, well, we're going to reclaim it and make it a better holiday and keep the holiday, they say, oh, no, that's a bad holiday. No holiday.
Yeah, that's right. So it just turns into, you know, squeezing more work out of us. And
right.
In the name of political correctitude, yeah. Well, I say we should change it to Carlo Tresca Day. That's my.
Oh yes, I was going to ask you who your suggestion is going to be for the famous Italian that we were going to choose. Okay, Carlo Tresca Day. That's a good one.
And it's actually kind of, you know, it's almost possible because despite the fact that he was an anarchist, you know, he himself, you know, he was sort of. In the whole end game in the Second World War, he actually had an ear in the White House because he was trying to, you know, approached the Roosevelt administration and trying to get them to, you know, not play ball with the fascist collaborators, not play ball with the mafia, who for their own cynical reasons had opposed.
Killed him.
But we don't know exactly who killed him. That's in, I mean, the name of his great, I can't remember the author offhand, but the wonderful biography of
Dorothy Gallagher, All the Right Enemies.
All the Right Enemies, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. A wonderful name for, and very appropriate, because they don't know exactly who it was who killed him, and it could have been anybody, and he had all the right enemies. So he was trying to, like, even though he was an anarchist and he had come out of, you know, all these labor struggles and
the Wobblies. And
exactly. He had been, you know, a marked man, and Elizabeth Gurley Flynn of the Communist Party was, you know, his lover of many years.
Well, before she was in the Communist Party.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was, in fact, an old joke. The old anarchist used to make a joke here that he cheated on her quite a lot, apparently.
Yes.
And that, like,
he was quite the ladies'
man. That was, like, the greatest loss to the anarchist movement was that if Carla Tresca just hadn't cheated so much on Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, she probably would have remained an anarchist. I mean, it was a joke. I mean, but
well, I thought it was kind of a mixed marriage, so to speak. And he was the anarchist and she was the communist.
But no, she was a Wobbly. She started out as a
right, but I mean, the Wobblies were kind of ecumenical. They had both anarchist and communist within their.
I mean, there were no Bixie communists when she became a socialist and joined the Wobblies and everything. She was, you know.
In any event, by the 1940s, despite this extremely radical, not only past but still radical present. I mean, he maintained these links, and in fact, he was getting anarchist organized in New York City to, you know, fight, and I mean sometimes literally fight, mixing it up in the streets with the fascist sympathizers and the American wing of the black shirts. Nonetheless, he was actually beginning to establish communications with the White House, trying to get the administration. Became obvious that the U.S. was going to the Allies were going to occupy Italy, you know, not to play ball with the fascist collaborators, not to play ball with the the mafia, which had finally, you know, broken with Mussolini and were fighting Mussolini for their own reasons, and not to play ball with the communists and Stalin's agents in Italy either. So
it's very unfortunate in terms of post-war politics that he was taken out at the time that he was. Yeah. And I think, I mean, people don't remember him, you know. People, and I think that post-war Italian-American history would have been wildly different if he'd been around, because I think it would have become a more...
Right. But, of course, you know, that's exactly why he was killed.
Right.
We don't know, we'll probably never know who it was who killed him, but it almost doesn't matter because he...
Well, I think it was the mafia.
In any event, I say we change change Columbus Day to Carlo Tresca Day.
All right.
And, let's see, the tally now stands at $470, which means that if one person calls and pledges $30 to get the lovely...
T-shirt!
The lovely flaming eyeball. Actually, it's not a flaming eyeball. It reminds
me... It's a flaming heart ball.
It's a flaming heart T-shirt. A winged flaming heart T-shirt. Max keeps calling it a flaming eyeball T-shirt. He thinks it looks like the Grateful Dead symbol, but I'm not sure. Maybe
the Grateful Dead symbol is a flaming eyeball.
Yeah,
since
it was
when?
One of their many symbols was they had a flaming eyeball. Was it on the cover of Europe 72, if memory serves?
No, Europe 72 is the guy putting the ice cream cone on his head.
Oh yeah, you're right. Betraying what
punchline to a punchline to a joke.
Betraying what geeks we are. But in any event, it's a wonderful T-shirt. And it's very...
It has nothing to do with the Grateful Dead.
It has nothing to do with the Grateful Dead. Except it is kind of... I mean, it's kind of got this sort of retro hippie feel to it, right? I mean, it is a heart with flaming wings. And it says BAI, WBAI, Alternative People's Radio, founded by pacifists. And
you know, but in the best kind of way. I mean, it's fantastic. It's not like a mess. It's a beautiful design.
Absolutely.
Really striking. It's a great colors. I mean, it's...
I wasn't dissing it by any means.
No, I know. It's like a beautiful purple and really great yellow.
And if one more person calls... am I reading that right? Is it really up to...
Is that possible?
I'm almost... I shouldn't say that because I think I might be reading it. Is that first digit a 4?
Might be. I can't see whether. But it looks like it doesn't. It looks like the other number to me as well. That can't be right.
If they could move it down a little bit back there in tally, we could see the entire. I thought that a minute ago it just stood at 470. Was I wrong? So I thought that if one more person pledged for $30, we could actually get it up to 500. Well, you know what? I'm going to run back at the tally and find out what exactly the tally does stand at. And while
in the meantime, you should call 212 209-2950, because
right.
we definitely need more.
Pledge a minimum of $30, and then we can, at a minimum, jack it up to $500, and get that lovely purple T-shirt.
And be a voting member.
And be a voting member of WBAI. And remember, if you pledge $50, you get the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 2, which is a one CD set. Or if you pledge $100, you get the complete 3-CD set, Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 1. So while I rush back into Tally and find out what it really stands at, let's hear some Italian music from the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits. I believe this is from Volume 1. Yes, so here, let's hear some wonderful Italian music. Is this right? Actually, here, let's hear this one. Yeah. Right? Yeah! I cannot get enough of that cut. That is, that's 1,000 year, maybe 2,000, 3,000 year old rock and roll band. As who was it? Was it William Burroughs who said that about the master musicians of Jajouka? But this is another 2,000 year old rock and roll band, or 10,000 year old rock and roll band from the Italian Alps, recorded on location in the 1950s by Alan Lomax. And actually, that's from the Rhetian Alps. This is actually the Slavic-speaking minority in the Italian Alps, right near the border with Slovenia, which was Yugoslavia back in the day. So actually, strictly speaking, not ethnic Italian music, but music from Italy. And really, really good stuff. Just one example of the many, many wonderful cuts from all around the world that you can get by calling 212-209-2950 and making a pledge of, if you want that cut, you're going to have to make a pledge of $100 and get the 3-CD set, or you can make a pledge of $50 and get the 1-CD.
You can't afford to not have these CDs in your home.
And if you can only afford 30, then pledge 30 and get Sydney Smith's lovely WBAI t-shirt with the flaming winged heart. Or pledge $25 and become a member of WBAI. Or if you can't even afford that, then pledge whatever you can. But we want to give a big thanks to Eric Linton of Jersey City, to our ever-dependable, good friend, Lucy McAllister of New York, New York. Thank you so much, Lucy. You always come through for us. We love you. And Sella Lipstadt of Long Beach. And Joseph Laley of Brooklyn, Mike John of Wantagh, and our good friend Ed Hoffman did he move down to Florida? Lake Worth, Florida? Maybe it's a different Ed. Must be a different Ed. Well, thank you, Ed. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. Now, we want to, of course, admonish you all that if you pledged, in order to get this wonderful stuff, you've got to actually pay your pledge. Now, I should say that the tally stands at $720, which is pretty damn good. Exceeds our expectations. So thank you very, very, very much. Now, we really want, you know, usually they say, well, you know, not everybody pays their pledges, so you can't really expect, you know, the full amount to be, you know, for the station to actually receive the full amount on the tally. Well, we don't hold with that. We say that, you know, if you made a pledge, you just pay your pledge because, you know, just like you really believe in the heat of the moment in BAI, then you got on the phone and you made that pledge, well, you should have the commitment to follow through and keep to your commitment. So, and I'm not, of course, expecting that that anybody out there is going to not pay their pledge. On the contrary, I have complete confidence that you all are going to pay your pledges, which is why I'm saying that. So
we have no summer soldiers.
Exactly, or sunshine patriots. No, this is the real deal here. So 720, I believe it's real 720, which is not too shabby. So once again, thank you all very much. Big round of applause for everybody who gave it up for the Mark Orthodox Radio Crusade.
We want to thank the volunteers for taking the pledges.
And also, I believe it's actually volunteer singular, because we really need volunteers, plural. So please,
actually go up to?
Did it? I don't know. I would like to believe that, in fact, it really did go up to what it says, because that would be really, really excellent. Is that accurate? We'll find out if it's accurate. Maybe we'll play some more music and actually read out that number. But once again, if you want this wonderful music, it can be yours for a pledge of either $50 for the one CD set or $100 for the three CD set by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And we have 10 minutes left. What should we do in the remaining 10 minutes? Should we play a little bit more music to tease the audience? What kind of music?
To reward the audience.
Reward the audience who pledged, and to tease the audience who hasn't pledged. So name a continent, Anne-Marie. We should play music from what continent?
America.
Music from America. Okay. Music from the Americas? Okay. Should we play some, I know. Can I find the Garifuna music? That stuff really, really rocks. Veracruz, Honduras, Colombia, where's the Garifuna stuff? I'm looking for the Garifuna stuff. Okay, while I'm looking for the Garifuna stuff, why don't we hear some Afro-Colombian stuff? Yeah, let's hear cut six. And keep those calls coming, 212-209-290. No. Don't call 2900. Call 2950, 212-209-2950. Wait, this is the Garifuna.
Yeah. Ethiopia.
Yeah. That's El Tribu Garifuna from Honduras. Good, good, good stuff. And you know what? The tally actually stands at $1,130. Much to my astonishment, I must say. All right, we need to read out some other shout-outs to Jeff Mullen of East Brunswick, New Jersey. Our good old friend Art Cabrera from Brooklyn. And Christopher L. Dinas from Huntington, New York, who wants his donation to be in memory of Susan Blake, longtime Long Island activist. And I should say longtime friend of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. We've been announcing her events at P. Smith House for many years, and I know that she was a listener to the show. And Susan will be missed. Definitely a lot of people, particularly in the overnighters here at BAI, have said a lot about Susan, and she was a really great spirit. Her heart was really in the right place, and a long time fighting activist. So hail and farewell, Susan Blake. And we do hope and trust that P. Smith House will continue, and her spirit will live on. So this has been the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with me, Bill Weinberg, and Anne Marie Hendrickson.
Yep.
And
thank
you all so much. We did really great tonight, far better than we ever expected. So thanks a hell of a lot. Do keep the calls coming at 212-209-2950. Those of you who did not pledge but really want this wonderful music, well, you know what? You're going to have your opportunity next week and the week after that because we've got a really long marathon coming up. So do stay tuned. Weaponry with Bob Santucci and Tom Whisker will be coming up next. We have a special interview for you next week. I'm glad we did really good tonight because I'm not going to take out a lot of time to harass the listeners next week because we have a very important interview next week. So we'll talk to you then. And call 212-209-2950 while we go out with a little bit more of El Tribu Garifuna from Honduras. And Salam Aleikum.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.